I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
People been asking, and my man has delivered. We've got a website, ladies and gentlemen. McCullyRoofingLLC.com. That's the website. Chris McCully of McCully Roofing and Renovations. If you got storm damage, if you got some projects around the house you want to tackle, Chris is the man for the job. He's got the best renovation roofing service in Memphis. You want to get those free quotes, reach out to him. McCullyRoofingLLC.com. When he comes out, let him know you heard about him on the Jason and John Show. He's going to throw in a free roofing upgrade.
Yep, and that's big. Anything you can get free in 2022 with this kind of value is big. So call him up, 487-7096. Doesn't just have to be your roof like we keep reminding you. Can be an idea you have, a renovation you're thinking about that you might want to complete. You don't know. Do you have enough money? Is it too big a job? Can you do it? Got to call the team. Chris McCully and his team, 487-7096, voted most popular roofing company. Got a ton of five-star reviews on Facebook, and you can see it all for yourself. Again, over at McCullyRoofingLLC.com. That number again, 901-487-7096. It's McCully Roofing and Renovation.
So we were talking earlier about the report from Stephen Johnson about Imani Bates and his father having been, at least his father having been on campus several times recently. If is it obvious to you that Imani Bates is going to start or come off the bench if he's a part of this team? Is it obvious to you? Is he 100% coming off the bench? Is he 100% starting? Is it obvious to you what his role would be in that regard?
I don't think anything's 100% with, you know, I wouldn't say anything. I'd be hesitant to say anything's 100% with this program or Memphis or recruiting. You know, right. That deal, you've covered it long enough to know that. But I would say that the right play here seems like the easy play is, yeah, he's coming off the bench.
Right.
With where his stock has dropped to, with what you've been through last year, with the fact that he's the one that put himself in the transfer portal after it appeared that, you know, at one point that Penny was welcome, you know, open to welcoming him back, including at the end of last season after the injury issues. And so, yeah, why would you come back with anything other? Almost, in a, you know, not entirely different from the situation with Tyler Harris last year, where, of course, again, in that situation, you don't put him on scholarship. He's a walk-on. But to that point that, look, I can't really promise you a ton here, right, because I've already told other guys, hell, I got a starting five, to be quite honest with you. But, hey, you're the one that's going to have to come in. It's got to be team over individual for us. If you can come in and help us as a team, hey, great. There'll be a spot for you. If not, you know, roll on. And again, in many cases, John, you don't want to be so tied to Imani Bates. You owe him nothing when it comes to his draft stock, anything else. And so if you get a deal where a guy's going to come in here and be a malcontent because he's not getting enough minutes or his stock's continuing to drop because the opportunity is not there, that's a headache you don't necessarily need. So again, if they agree to this, I would think it's in a role as a guy who comes off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably right. Although, if it does come to fruition, I have to believe that just like Penny is sort of trying to placate under this scenario, right? We've kind of said that Penny would, the reason why he would say publicly that he hasn't had communications is to sort of placate Keontae and not give off any indication that his job would be in jeopardy, right? You also have to probably play that game a little bit with Imani and his father and say, you know, to an extent, but you would just say, you know, you you're going to be competing for your job. You're going to be, nothing's going to be handed to you. You're going to have to earn it. And if you don't, you're not going to have it. I'm not just going to hand it to you. But you probably leave the possibility open, right?
I don't know. I wouldn't even do that because I don't think you need him. Right. That's what changed here is the need as well. You don't need Imani Bates. Could you use more shooting? Absolutely you could. But you have a starting five. You've got some solid depth on the wing, albeit some of it unproven, including Jonathan Lawson. But you don't need Imani like you might have, you know, whether it's last year or whatever else. The problem was you needed a point guard last year. You put Imani at point guard because you have used him all season in that shooter's role. Could that have worked? Sure, probably. But again, that's the deal now is what's changed is you got a point guard, you got shooters. You don't need him in the way that you did last year.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair.
Nor do you need Elgin Bates. You know what I'm saying? Like that was different last year when the perception of Imani was different.
So what's the worst case scenario is it's pretty easy to contain. You just cut ties, right? If you have him on the roster and it goes poorly, you just say, hey, it's not good for you, it's not good for us. Let's just go our separate ways. That's a very easily containable situation. What's the best case? Like if we look up and we say, man, that went as well as it could have possibly gone. What happened for Imani Bates?
He was willing to play a role as a scorer off the bench and showed that he can. This is what he needs to show in the NBA for real, is that he can affect the game in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's defensively, you know, he's been a pretty solid rebounder for as slight a build that he is, but he's got to be able to show something else besides just the fact, if that's the only way you can impact games is making jump shots, with your body and athleticism, you ain't going to be able to get those shots off in the league. So it's Imani Bates playing a role as scorer, but also showing he can do other team things, and again, you having a better team from the get-go, a better put-together team that, okay, I know this guy is a point guard. I know this guy's going to be my two and my three rather than having someone who hadn't played the position trying to play a key one for you. Does that make sense? You're not going to have the chemistry issues off the wham because you've got a guy at point guard that's played the position, and whether it's for Imani or for the team, best thing for him, play the role. And if everybody does, this thing should get where you want to go. Now, you want to win an AAC title. I don't know with what Houston's brought back, even with Imani Bates in the fold, is just depth. If I can even see a world where I'm picking Memphis over Houston, I don't think so. Even with Imani in the fold, I think they're the second-best team probably in the AAC. That said, though, that can be a good thing for you and get you the kind of seed that can keep you from playing a Gonzaga second round.
Well, that's the whole goal, right? I mean, the goal is to avoid, you know, you're already in that field with a, you know, it's a very manageable preseason event. Like, there's no
Florida State, Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody.
Seton Hall, the deal in Orlando.
Yeah, so. There's nobody that should intimidate you by any stretch of the imagination.
Hopefully you win that thing.
You probably should be the favorite to win. Now, I don't know, you know, what Florida State's got coming back. I mean, they're always competitive, but you know, you should be certainly one of, if not the favorites, in that event. So you win that one, you got some momentum, you're not going to be ranked in the preseason top 25, which to me, I feel like for the first time, that could be a good thing because you can sort of play your way into it rather than being obsessed with, you know, maintaining it and ended up playing your way out of it because whatever. Like, we know the track record early season with Penny Hardaway and Memphis. So, like, I actually feel like it's a better thing. You're going to have guys that are not just hungry to prove themselves on an individual level for the pros, but guys who are hungry to prove. Kendrick Davis wants to get to an NCAA tournament, right? And it's increasingly unlikely that there's going to be a postseason ban. You know, you're not hearing murmurs of that anymore. You're not hearing those whispers. I have not heard those whispers. I've heard different penalties. I've heard suspensions. I've heard scholarship reductions. I have not heard a postseason ban in a while. So you know, look, I think this is an opportunity for it's an intriguing year for Penny in terms of like how he's going to have to coach because it is going to be different. But you know, this is a real opportunity. It feels to me to capitalize on last season to get because okay, now you've got two in a row, right? If you get back to the tournament, now that's two in a row. You're sort of slowly starting that march to being relevant again and being a brand again, and then ideally you crack through, you break through, and you go to a Sweet 16. It's going to be hard to continue to build on the fly, you know, and I do think that is the downside risk to Imani Bates because you would like to have Jonathan Lawson developed and ready as a junior to be the full-time starter, right?
Yeah, I would.
And it just feels unlikely if Imani's on the roster, he's just not going to have that runway. He's just not.
Well, not as much of one, especially if the plan is still to, you know, get Jaden some minutes as well on the wing.
Right. Exactly.
There's just a lot less opportunity, a lot less minutes opportunity for Jonathan in that sense. A guy who, you know, you've always thought highly of as a prospect, and the guy that we know Penny Hardaway has thought of as a prospect. At some point, especially after you redshirt him last year, you want to get those guys, you know, on their way to being impact guys for you. And yes, Imani would cloud that in some ways. I can't imagine that the addition of Imani Bates, even if they were, you know, relatively close last year as teammates, would be something that, you know, that Jonathan Lawson would welcome in terms of, oh man, now it's my time. It would have to come with the understanding that, hey man, that probably means a little less time for me. Now, Jonathan Lawson ready to be that team guy that's willing to, hey, let's just get all the time we can. It's one thing, but for you individually, yes. But we talk about sacrifices have to be made all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't need Imani. Could you use him in the right role? Yes.
It's a little bit like the tournament, right? You didn't need him to come back. That was like a window dressing thing. That was like a, all right, we're going to try to like dress.
Because you were playing your best ball without him.
It's just a fact, right? I mean, that is an unassailable fact.
And I don't think much has changed, quite frankly, John. It's the same situation. Your stocks dropped. We played well. Hell, we had Gonzaga down 10 at half. We turned the entire season around. What were we, 9-8 at one point before that Tulsa game? And so we got the thing turned around without you. Why all of a sudden do we need you?
Yes.
And again, I just think it gives you more leverage and make sure those parameters you've talked about even stronger.
Yeah, it's another test. And I think one of the things that you just want to see for Penny is him not make things more complicated on himself than they have to be. And I know you think you can do it, you think you can figure out a way, but, you know, that's an additional thing to have, and it's a big thing to have to manage. Right, like if Imani Bates is on the roster, like that's gonna have to, that's gonna command attention. It's gonna demand attention, and we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see how that goes. But this is this could be a potentially. I know we're only in June, but like it's something to think about. Like you get to another tournament, and it is gonna be difficult. I think that's the other side of this, right? Can you expect, how different would we be thinking about this roster if he had not gotten Kendrick Davis, right? Like, it's kind of a high-stakes game he's playing. He's relying on his ability to get that dude every offseason. Can Penny get the Kendrick Davis of the transfer portal every single year? Because you don't have any freshmen coming in. You don't have any, like that. That's sort of the corner he's painting himself into. Now, he's done it. He's done it. He's gotten Jalen Duren. He's gotten Kendrick Davis. So far, he's checked every box. But can that last forever? It's hard. It's hard to do that.
Well, I just think that's a better way to win in today's college basketball world than it is going out and getting 10 freshmen and saying you're going to, by the time they become sophomores or juniors, we'll be all right.
Right.
No, that's not today's NCAA college basketball.
Yeah, it's hard to do that.
It's not the way you play it. Like we've said, I think Penny's perfectly positioned for the future of college basketball and the way this thing looks. It's basically free agency out here. What are we talking about?
Yep.
And now you're armed with name, image, and likeness. Like, and Memphis has shown clearly it can be at least a player in that game, if not at the forefront. Like, I think Penny's perfectly set up here. So, yes, you keep the Kendrick Davis comes in here on a one-year stop, makes the tournament. That's a story in addition to the NBA story that you're selling. Hey, this guy, he made the tournament with us. Couldn't do it down at SMU because we have more talent around him. Those are things, John, that can keep this thing on a roll. I don't understand anyone that's, if you watch last season's turnaround, you watch the way they got to the tournament, beat boys, then play Gonzaga, if you felt good then, how you've lost confidence in Penny since. Right? If the confidence went up with the way Penny turned the season around, hey, I screwed up with Imani, playing the thing the way I did. We turned the thing around. You saw it with Gonzaga. You're up 10 at the half. If your confidence in Penny went up at that point, how could anything that has transpired since make that confidence drop off? You should still be pretty high on Penny. Remember, we're sitting up here talking, well, how's he going to recruit, whatever else. What has he shown you in the few years he's been? He's a hell of a defensive coach.
Yep.
He's added Frank Haith. When he's lost a guy who, frankly, shouldn't have lost in Lester Quinones, the information said Lester should have come back. What's he done to replace him? He's gone out now, and you look at Kerwin Walton, you get Keontae Kennedy. Now you're looking at other options. And so, again, because of the way Penny is plugged in,
because of the way his brand and the success, you know, that he had last season making the tournament. Dude, I think this thing's in position for a penny, again, in this new world of free agents. Go out and get your guy, flip your team in a year. He's in position to have great success, to be at the forefront of it.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean,
whether he gets there or not, it's on him. Whether he stays motivated, it's more things like that to me. IARP, whatever comes down. It's more things like that to me that can stop Penny as opposed to, well, he just can't seem to stop playing guys.
Right.
Dude, Kendrick Davis is going to play 30 to 35 minutes a game. That's going to cut minutes off of other guys.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to see 3-4 dudes at point guard this year. That's going to cut down on a lot of it. So, again, Penny told you last year he wanted to get older in this conference. That's what he's done. He's got the most coveted transfer in the portal in Kendrick Davis. I suspect, I mean, you can see the plan. I suspect it gets executed along the lines that he's thinking this year.
Well, like every year, there's probably going to be one or two teams that did not lose their entire team, right? This year is Carolina, and they're the favorite. They're the favorite to win the championship. There's only going to be one or two of those teams every single year, period. And the reason why, Armando Bacot got like, you know, seven figures to come back to North Carolina. He would have left had he not. He would have gone to the NBA. But also Caleb Love and R.J. Davis and those guys, they got to the championship game when nobody expected them to. And so now they're looking at it like, yo, let's run this thing back. They got the NIL. They got the team in place. That's a rarity. That's going to be the exception as opposed to the rule. What Memphis is doing and what 98% of other college basketball teams are doing in terms of relying on transfers and pushing down the young classes, you know, it feels like we talked about the shift is going to be these young guys, these class of 2022, 2023 guys, they're going to go to probably lower levels where they'll get playing time and then they'll come up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like prep
like a
school.
Farm system, yeah. Or prep school, yes.
Yeah, like they'll go to like
the lower levels.
You know, I don't know, pick a lower level school, you know, pick like your North Texas.
Pick Campbell.
Campbell, right.
Cedric Henderson goes and plays 3 years. He's going to finish it up at Arizona, which, oh, by the way, made the Sweet 16 last year.
Right.
But that's the point on that is you're going to be, I think, these powers more reluctant to go out and get those freshman guys. You'll pick those guys up after they've proven it in college for 2-3 years, albeit at a lower level, whatever it's going to be. Elijah McCadden.
Yeah.
Georgia Southern.
Or you're going to see these top 10 kids go G League for that reason, right? Because like they just know they're going to have to contend with seniors and fifth-year seniors and everything like that. Like the kid, I can't pronounce it, like Matas Budizela. I can't pronounce it. He's like a European kid. He's going G League. He's top 10 in 23. He's going G League. Like you're going to see that more and more because everybody knows the score. College coaches want to play experienced guys, period. You know, you mix a freshman in here or there, but it's not going to be like, you know, the days of, like, think about that Memphis team in 2019, right, where it was just nothing but freshmen. Like, those days are gone, right? Like, you're never going to see, I mean, I won't say never, but you're not going to see most likely that again. Where
I mean,
it's
the, the transfer rules have changed since then. The game has changed since then, since that class.
Yes. So that's.
So, yeah, I think those days are behind you.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Jeff Coggs about this, get his thoughts on Memphis basketball, Amani Bates. But look, before we get to Jeff, you got maybe an aspiring, you know, college player in your home. You want to make sure that they got everything they need to refine their skills. Well, they do. It's right here in Memphis. It's called Shoot 360. The same technology that Steph and Clay use that make them the best in the world, it's right here. They're going to measure your depth, your arc, your directional, everything. I've seen it. I've used it. And it has made me a better shooter. Like, no cap. It has made me a better shooter. Ask anybody I play pickup with. I'm back in the pickup streets, bro. All right, I'm out here. I don't know what you think this is or was, but I'm back out here. Oh, yeah, every Wednesday night. Find me. Come find me. And I did it. I fell back in love with it thanks to Shoot 360. I knew what I had to work on, and your son or daughter's going to love it. It's right here in Memphis.
Yeah, John's over the hill. We're training the next generation of hoopers and ballers. There's a second grader over there right now running circles around my kid because he's in there every day, and he's on his program, and you gotta love the work. They've got the technology for you. If you're willing to put the work in, they're going to make you a better player. Or if you just want to have the kid burn off some energy. They've even got the 8-foot goal for the kiddies. But the point again, is that it's right here in Memphis, all the state-of-the-art technology, and it's not just your shot, it's your passing, it's your ball handling. They'll make your entire game better. They make it super affordable. Go see for yourself. We're calling it the future of basketball training in Memphis, and the future is right now at Shoot 360. Go see them out at 85 Market Center Drive.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In Cairo.
Jeff Calkins is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show, sports columnist for the Daily Memphian, and he joins us now. Hello, Jeff.
So did you settle who would win the boxing match?
Yeah, I mean, you mean like the whole thing?
Well, just, you know, the two of you. Like, Gary went with, very quickly, he thought Jason would win between the two of you. But the three of you, really. It was if there was a tournament. And, but I think upon reflection, I liked your chances, John. You're the younger.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a ridiculous choice, and the only reason I said it is because there's a 15-year gap, right? I mean, if Jason was 30 and I was 45, then I would pick Jason. You know, it's a 15-year. I mean, that's insane. That's absurd.
Well, I think it was his wiles were, you know, and honestly, Jason doesn't look 15 years older than you. Jason
no, he doesn't.
Looks,
that's his
know,
credit. To his
he's
credit,
slim.
That's right.
He's slim. You know, and he's looking.
But if you've been listening to this show, if you've been listening to the show in recent months, then you have heard him lamenting what has happened to him recently.
A little bit of a belly.
You know, and but Jason did concede earlier in the show. He said he would not. He said he would lay down, basically.
Yeah, just not motivated.
He says he has nothing left to prove to anybody, which I respect. I respect that. You know, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous that I feel like I have something to prove. You know, so I would actually go out here and I would try to win. You know,
right?
That's stupid. Yeah. I'm 31 years old. You know what the hell am I out here doing? But yes.
Well, what's Adrian Peterson doing? That's how the whole thing started. Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell. Of course, they're doing it for money. After
they're doing
right?
it, they're doing it for $multi-million. You know,
is it $multi-million?
There's no way it's not. I mean, how is it not?
You think someone's paying multi-$1 million
yeah,
for Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon
Adrian
Bell
Peterson is a Hall of Fame NFL running back. He's not out here doing it for 50
no,
grand,
he's
is he?
Not doing, he's doing, no, but 500. He's probably, you know, people can
500?
Spend their money.
That doesn't even pay a month of his mortgage, does it?
I think they're each doing it for 500. 750 maybe. I don't think there's multi-million dollars for this. It's not real. This is a sham boxing whatever. It's a carnival show.
Yeah, but there's still money in that because Logan Paul does it. I mean,
yeah.
There's money in it,
yeah,
bro.
I think Logan Paul is good at generating lots of views, right? Isn't that what he does for a living, generating views?
Well, in some sense, yep. Yep.
So anyway.
What's the most ridiculous thing you've done in your career in Memphis? Like any like charity thing? Like what's the most ridiculous? I know there's been something. Like I know you interviewed the Liberty Bowl.
You've done the dunk tanks. You've done that, right? And then I've done multiple dunk tanks.
That's pretty standard.
Did you fight anybody in the mud, Jeff?
No, I didn't. I covered the mud wrestling, but I did not actually. I did not actually. That's a good idea. Yeah, no, I did not do the mud wrestling. They had a shark tank in at the Agri Center. There was a shark tank, And but they were little itty bitty sharks, and they had me get in the shark tank. And I mean, that was kind of a joke. I did that. You know, I played the tuba out in front of the FedEx Forum. That's probably the most famous thing I did, right? I played the Christmas carols on my tuba outside FedEx. No, I was outside the pyramid. So I did that. You know, I led the, I called plays. I helped Brady White, you know, call plays in the blue gray game, right? I did that.
That's not. That's not like, you know, I'm talking about like putting like sending yourself out.
Putting your dignity on the line.
Yeah, like that.
Dunk
yeah.
tank does that anytime.
Yeah, but it's a pretty I've done a dunk tank myself, you know, like that's pretty standard. Like there's never anything off the wall that you've sent yourself out and done.
Well, what I have done that's
mud wrestle, honestly. That was the one thing that we were hoping you did.
Mud wrestling, but I would not mud wrestle. And it wasn't mud wrestling, it was barbecue sauce wrestling.
Would you do it? Would you arm wrestle?
Probably not.
For charity.
Maybe. If it's a 5-year-old.
Right.
I would, but would I arm wrestle?
Let me ask you this. Would you arm wrestle Imani Bates?
Charity, sure. But there'd be no expectation that I win or anything.
I don't know. So, I think I might lay a few on plus 400 for Calkins versus Imani Bates.
I would 100% I'd do that.
Calkins
the
favorite. Imani weighed like 90 pounds.
Yeah, I think you'd be the favorite against Imani. That's what you don't understand.
This is not the roast, the Calipari roast. That's just a talk, though. Just gave a talk.
Did you actually participate in that? He allowed that?
Yes. No. It was back when we quote unquote hated each other, and he had said the only time I see the commercial peel is when I drive over it backing out the driveway. And so Smitty, who was the sort of right hand guy, said we're doing a roast and we want you to roast him. And I thought I was the last roaster. And I did a hell of a job. It was I forgot exactly. I had some picture of the Mercedes running over the commercial peel in the driveway that I don't remember. But it was universally well regarded. I did a hell of a good job roasting John Calipari. And the idea was, let's bury the hatchet, you know, Calkins, yeah, roast Calipari, et cetera. But in the end, John's not one to bury the hatchet.
Did you make it worse? Did you fan the flames?
No. He appreciated the – I wish I had it.
Yeah,
I
that's classic. That. Who were the other roasters, Jeff? Do you remember?
I don't remember. No idea who the other roasters were. They were all local roasters. They didn't fly in any national roasters. But that was fun.
You can't do a roast in 2022, you know. You just can't. People can't handle
it. But my roast was not vulgar.
Of course, it's not gonna be vulgar.
Hilarious, but not vulgar.
But you don't remember like any lines?
Not a single one.
Yeah.
Not a single one. I really wish I had it.
It's tough, though. You don't know how up to the line.
There's a lot of pressure. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of pressure on it because you're supposed to be funny, you know. But
you don't want to, like, you don't want to, like, really offend, though. Like, you don't want to, like, really, you know what I mean? Like, there's a certain line that you have to find, which would be tough for somebody like me. I would most certainly cross it.
You would likely cross it. So, but would I box someone for charity? No. Well, Willie Harrington boxed Joe Frazier. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. I do. Now, how many punches, real punches, were exchanged?
There were no real punches.
Zero.
There were zero real punches. I know. Where was that? In the Peabody? Where did they
I think that I want to say you nailed it, that it was the Peabody. That's what I recall. I remember it feels like it was
Willie
Peabody.
Harrington, you know, he was probably 65 at the time. He was boxing Joe Frazier. Yes. Brad, I'm sure, has been... You know, radio shows used to do this kind of ridiculous stuff too. The most extreme thing you would do for whatever, mm-hmm. And then people started dying every once in a while, and so, you know, they don't do that as much, do they, Brad?
We don't do it at all,
right?
I mean, like we've basically removed any liability from everything,
right?
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. It removed the fun of radio in a way.
72 eggs. Who can eat the most?
No, we did
eggs
it every year
sitting.
For every event. It was a free event to give away T-shirts at bar events, and we just had to stop doing it.
And then someone would die because they ate 72 eggs, and they'd be like, "Yeah, we better not do this anymore."
Yeah, right. I won't go into the worst ones.
And what's crazy though is like Ron Olson does that every day. Like just
yeah, he makes up nutties every day, yeah.
But not even for radio. Like he'll just eat 72 eggs a day. Like
yeah, that's wild. Isn't
like
it?
That's the that. But
he's
that's just, Ron Olson.
He's living the old days, right?
Yeah.
He's a relic, man. You know? You know Ron Olson is 69 years old, by the way?
That's not true.
It is true.
Yeah, Ron is not a day over 46.
I'm just saying, he told me the other day, and I was shocked.
It is shocking.
I was shocked. Because he does not carry himself like I would expect.
No, he's got a youthful aspect, doesn't he? He's a youthful spirit.
He most certainly does. Okay, we were talking about Imani Bates earlier. Stephen Johnson reported that Elgin Bates is dined at the on-campus Chick-fil-A. You know, he's had some Taco Bell. You know, he's got the dining dollars.
Stephen Johnson left no doubt that he talked to the dad, and the dad said, "We've been on campus multiple times." I'm not saying anyone's lying or whatever.
Right,
else,
right.
There does seem to be conflicting reports here, doesn't there?
No, the dad was like, "We still got some unused dining dollars on Imani's student ID."
Who is more likely? Now, he did not say we've talked to Penny.
Right.
So if you want to split the difference of the reports, you could believe that as Stephen Johnson reported, the dad said he'd been on campus, and you could also believe that they have not talked to Penny. Now, that seems illogical right there. That seems illogical. So let's pretend that one has to be false. Either Penny is playing a little fast and loose with the truth when he said he has not talked to Imani or his dad, or that the dad has to be playing fast and loose with the truth when he's saying he's been on campus multiple times. Which one of those two is more likely in those circumstances to be playing fast and loose with the truth?
Well, it's
100% Penny Hardaway.
Well, right. Who has reason to play
reason
fast
to
and loose with the truth?
It's just who has incentive to.
Jason kind of laid it out earlier. Like you're kind of trying to hold Keontae Kennedy hostage here while you figure this out. So you don't want to sit there and say, no, Imani's.
We've been talking every day to Imani. Until it's done, you don't need to ever say you're talking to Imani.
And you gotta wait until you get that signature from Keontae, and you know, make sure that is the most sensical explanation to me. You know, but it is weird.
Let's be honest. Penny, I love him, as you know. We've never had even a crossword between us. Okay, maybe occasional crossword.
Stop asking me stupid f***ing questions.
Okay, there's the crossword. But
don't do that.
He has been known occasionally to be a little fast and loose with the truth.
He has, and it was funny. I watched. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the interview with Doc, but I watched the whole thing, and I thought it was just classic Penny, man. He's still like, you know, he made sure to like draw the line. I apologize to the fans, not the media. he was very clear about his
don't do that.
You know, his explanation afterwards. He was not apologizing to you, Jabroni.
100%. Yeah, no, he was not.
You know, he would not do it differently. Because Penny's version of events was you or the media had made it personal, and that's why he reacted.
Preposterous. Again, I used the question in my sermon. Have you ever lost faith? And then he came back and said, sorry, that's a fire engine gone by. And then he came back and said, this year? And I said, yeah, you know, is it embarrassing? And I don't think that none of that's making it personal.
But
whatever, it's all bygones be bygones. It was a happy ending. That catapulted them into the NCAA tournament.
They didn't lose a game ever since.
I do what I can.
If they do decide to go the Imani route, Jeff, what do you think the chances are Imani starts the season and he finishes the season here in Memphis?
I would bet he would.
Doesn't he have a lot to prove, right? Doesn't he have to stick?
He can't quit again. There's no way he can quit again, so I'd say 95%. 90%. It's money.
You are out of your damn mind.
Okay, 85%.
You're out of your damn mind.
there's no reason to quit. He can't quit again.
Oh, he can quit. He can absolutely quit.
No.
He quit last year. I mean, come on.
I know, but having done it once, you can't do it again.
Right.
Just like if I ever get married again, do you think I'm going to get, what are the odds I'm getting divorced?
I don't know. Probably the same.
Zero.
It's not 0% if you get married. No, it's never zero.
And the draft that you're eligible for now is closer to you than it was last year when
you
quit.
You can't
that's the part about
that.
Not quitting twice. I'm with you, Jeff.
You can't quit again.
Yeah.
From that perspective, Penny would he wouldn't have to coddle him as much.
I asked Jason. I'll pose the question to you. I think we all know the worst case scenario is like it just goes as Ashley and Imani quits the team. But that's a pretty easy fire to contain. What's the best case scenario in your eyes for Imani Bates if he comes back to Memphis? What's that look like?
I think he's the second leading scorer on the team and leads him to back into the NCAA tournament. You know, he and Kendrick Davis, he's getting lots of open shots because Kendrick's creating them instead of having him create them for himself. He's the second leading scorer on the team, and he's all-conference. At least second team all-conference.
That would be the best case scenario. There is absolutely
also not far-fetched.
It just depends on how many minutes he gets and, you know, all of that. Do you think?
Yeah, but if he's really good, he'll get minutes.
So you think there's a chance then he starts?
Yes, 100%.
That would be bad news for Keontae Kennedy if he's listening.
Well, yes. Okay. Yes. I think there's a chance he starts. Sure. I don't know. Who's better, Keontae Kennedy or Imani Bates? You tell me.
I mean, I haven't really watched much Keontae Kennedy. I know who's older. I mean, that's about.
I'll tell you who's better. I bet Imani's a better shooter.
Oh, well, his percentages are better.
Can Keontae dribble? All right, he's better.
Who sees the floor better, though? Who sees the floor better?
Imani
sees the floor better.
But Keontae's a better defender because he can, you know, defend at all.
Okay, fair enough. That's a fair point.
So, I mean, we're going tit for tat here. It's a pretty damn good boxing match if we're using this
one. Someone can sprain an ankle. They can all three
sure,
play.
Sure.
You know, you could get plenty of minutes playing off the bench.
No, it's
you know, you know, Boogie was a super sub for a while.
He was, and then you know he stepped up when Aylin went down, and he became the starter. And good things happened. I mean, they were a dribble away from going.
How did they do in the tournament, by the way?
USC lost in the first round.
Right, good work there, John.
They got up. Well, I wasn't.
He jumped off.
You were invested in that team. You know it. You were emotionally invested in that team.
I was emotionally invested in one player. The team was built poorly. If we're being honest,
loved USC.
You know,
yes, he did.
It was not a well.
John,
put,
you were
as you know.
You and Jessica we were Trojan. You know, fight.
Jessica didn't even realize that USC had a basketball team until they made the tournament. She wasn't. I mean, she wasn't following that team. I was up on them. I knew what Boogie was doing. It was very tantalizing because Boogie would have like 18 and 24 and 19, and then like there was like a 3-week span where he didn't have more than 5 points. You know, it was a very weird yo-yo season for him.
Is he back next year?
He is back. He is. He flirted with the draft, and he is back. So, anyway, man, appreciate the time as always. Hope you're well.
It is. It's always my pleasure to be on.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, man. Thanks.
See ya.
Yeah, he is Jeff Calkins. Joins us every week here on the show. Yeah, look, I like I said, and like I've said from the beginning of this thing with Imani, and he's supposed to, you know, announce a decision at the end of the week. It's entertaining, which is good enough for me, you know? I mean, it whatever it is, it will be fun.
How much
to watch.
Better you think he's gotten since we last saw him?
I mean, I would talk myself into
because
saying...
Because unless it's a lot better, he ain't better than Keontae Kennedy.
Right.
Period.
I would just talk myself into a full offseason program with a team that could make a difference. That's the only...
Has it been a full offseason program with the team, though? No.
Right. Because he's not been with the team.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's a fascinating deal. No doubt about it. We'll come back, wrap it up here on a Tuesday. Jason and John, 97 FM, ESPN.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Make the switch down at Homer Skelton, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram in Millington. They got cars on the lot. Ladies and gentlemen, what you want, what you need. They got those Wranglers, those Grand Cherokees. That's what Jason is in. They got the Wagoneers, the Grand Wagoneers. It's an experience. You got to get up in it to see what I'm talking about. They got all kinds of cars on the lot and deals. Deals to be made. So head on down. Go see our man Shaq.
See our man Shaq. He's going to take care of you himself. Any of his salesmen, like my guy Brian Hughes, will take care of you. They know everything about every button on every car on that lot, including my man Brian Hughes, who knew everything about my Grand Cherokee. In fact, I think the parallel park itself and do stuff, too, that I still haven't even tried. My point is they know that lot like the back of their hand. So whatever your priorities are, mine were low mileage and a nice warranty. Yours might be car color, parallel parking, whatever it is. They've got the options for you. The Grand Cherokees, the new ones, the Rams, the Chargers, the Challengers. They've got it all for you out in Millington, 7661 U.S. Highway 51 North, to be precise. When you see our man Shaq, it's going to be like family, like it was for my wife, my kid, and myself a few weeks ago when we went out there. It was the quickest car buying, fastest car buying experience I've ever had. Can be for you as well. Go see them yourself. See for yourself how they're just a bunch of normal guys in the car biz changing lives four tires at a time. Now, we at least have no official closure on Larry Brown in terms of his status right now with the University of Memphis and on Penny Hardaway's staff. I believe it was as recently as last week that Penny Hardaway had said that Larry Brown was still a part of it. Now, we know, too, that he has hired Frank Haith. He said with Doc Holliday yesterday that he is hiring former Mitchell and Whitehaven High School, former Vanderbilt assistant Faraji Phillips. We've also talked about Jermaine Johnson being a close and a right-hand man of Penny all offseason. Now, you could very easily keep Jermaine on the support staff if you wanted to.
Right.
But what it appears, especially after you get Frank Haith, is that you're moving further and further away from Larry Brown, at least being in a full-time role as an assistant. Penny had mentioned, too, kind of having him in a consultant sort of role.
Yep.
Now, I say all that to say Larry Brown has still been busy. As a matter of fact, talking to an old friend, Omari Sankofa, who is now with the Detroit Free Press, was a Commercial Appeal beat writer covering the Grizzlies, is now covering the Detroit Pistons. He talked to Larry Brown, who had some very glowing things to say about the Pistons' new big guy, Jalen Duren, obviously with Larry Brown having coached him at Memphis. Some of it, he's what you'd expect. And he's an unbelievably great kid, reading from Omari's story. Comes from a really, really good family. He's all about the right things, wants to get better. He's a really good teammate. He's by no means a finished product, but he's just 18 years old. One of the things that he did point out that I thought was very interesting was that Jalen Duren didn't get the ball as much as Penny Hardaway would have liked for him to, as much as obviously the entire coaching staff would have liked for him to. And he mentioned that part of that was just they didn't have that point guard, right, to get Jalen Duren the ball. Remember, yep. I mean, you went through Imani Bates at one time is going to be the point guard. At one time, they're looking at Timberlake as a possibility for the point guard before they ultimately settle on Alo. And listen, Memphis found a nice little flow by the end of the season. You don't lead Gonzaga by 10 points in the NCAA tournament and not have a nice little flow. They'd stop turning the ball over, but what was clear is that for an entire season, you were not hammering the ball inside to Jalen Duren. His point is that with Cade Cunningham and a backcourt, a proven backcourt, although Jaden Ivey's got a lot to prove still, that there will be more opportunities for Jalen Duren at the next level, particularly in that roll to the basket, be that dunk guy catching lobs, everything else. He pointed, and frankly, he's right. Like, Memphis could have gone to Jalen Duren a lot more than it did, and that point guard issue was a big, significant part of the issue.
Yeah, look, it was, and
no lies detected on that one,
no,
for Larry.
No lies detected at all. And he's going to have – it's going to be fun to watch Jalen Duren develop in Detroit because he's going to have immaculate point guard play. I mean, he's got Jaden Ivey and Kay Cunningham. It does not get better in terms of young – now, look, Charlotte would have been great too because you've got LaMelo Ball there. Like, that would have been fun. I would have enjoyed seeing that, you know. But he showed – and I do think, like, that's – could that have been a reason why he slid a little bit, right, that NBA teams didn't get a full chance to – like, see his arsenal because the point guard play was not as good as it could have been, maybe. I think he was also a prisoner of his position, you know. But I do think you're going to see you're going to see Jalen Duren have some good days.
Well, Larry's point was you're going to involve him, and when you do, you'll get a more productive guy, a more effective guy, even on the defensive end. He brought up Ben Wallace, but his point was when you got a guy like that's flying around the rim blocking shots for you, you reward him on the other end with the easy stuff, the lobs, everything else. His point is that when Duren is getting that, you'll see him more. You know how we talked about how Duren's motor, sometimes he could just, heck, he'd be invisible on you. You'd go possessions where you don't feel like you see him even out there, even though that he is. Larry's point is that you keep him involved offensively. He's a guy who's going to be, especially as young as he is, he's a guy that's going to be more effective for you defensively. But his point was that even when he wasn't getting the ball at Memphis, he said, I never saw him complain when he didn't get the ball. It didn't stop him from trying to help us win. But again, like I said, you know, Kay Cunningham, those guys, I would imagine, going to keep Jalen Duren very engaged.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to make the game easier for him on that offensive end. He'll stay locked in for you defensively, hopefully.
Yeah.
It's a nice fit.
Yeah. I mean, Detroit all of a sudden, like, look, they're not, it ain't going to be next year. It ain't going to be the year after that. But I mean,
I can see them in playing where Charlotte was this year.
Yeah.
And maybe a little higher.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, they
actually. Depending on whether
do,
they can get
like,
Aiden or not.
Troy Weaver, I think, is the guy there.
Some people think they're out of the Aiden sweepstakes because they got Jalen Duren. I don't think so.
Right.
But some people do.
Yeah, I mean, like, they've built something pretty nice. I mean,
and they got cap space. That's what I'm telling you. They got it because of trading Jeremy Grant. They
right.
got room to do some things still with the young nucleus that they've got.
It's kind of Grizzlies-esque, to be honest, because it's a bunch of young guys that they've drafted. They made it happen with Jaden Ivey, right? I mean, they got lucky there with Jaden not going to the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they drafted Jalen Duren there. They traded it to get him, But yeah, I mean, it's they're building through the draft, and they're doing. I mean, they got Sadiq Bey, they got Isaiah Stewart there as well. They got the Cade
and Jalen.
I mean, that's a
now Jalen.
It's yeah. exciting. You know, Killian Hayes, another guy. Like, they got to get a couple vets, you know, to kind of keep everybody sort of in line. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you're looking for a, like, I put it this way, they are way ahead of the Orlando Magic. You know.
Oh. Orlando's still spinning around.
And they've been peers, right? In terms of, like, they've looked around and they've seen, you know, each
sure,
other at the bottom. And they've been at the, you know, same order in the draft for years now. Orlando has not gotten it done. You know, maybe Paolo's the one that changes it all here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Jalen Suggs, Cole Anthony, you know, I'm trying to think, you know, Franz Wagner. Like, it's just they have not found a way to, you know, to quite break through in that Eastern Conference. So, yeah, look, the Larry Brown thing is interesting. You know, I'm assuming he did not address the his
that is not spoken of in this story. Again, the story is a feature on Jalen Duren, where Omari's gone out and found Larry Brown. Omari is not reporting anything about Larry. I will say this: if you're looking for signs,
mm-hmm.
Larry says, but we switch ball screens, and he didn't say we switched them when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
He says we switch them as current. And Johnny just talked to him like last week, it looks like, for this piece.
Yeah.
Larry talking like he's very much still in the fold.
Yeah, no.
As it's present.
Well, again, I was told that he's going to want to be on the bench. So if Larry's back, he's going to be an assistant. That's my understanding as of today. Now, could it change? Everything always change. Memphis basketball, it's tough reporting on Memphis basketball, man, because things can change in the blink of an eye. You know what I mean? Like, you could. You'll hear 15 different accounts.
You know, he's got the other guy, Forrest, that could, if he wanted to, you know, whether it's Jermaine, whether it's Forrest, or I guess whether it's Larry Brown. I mean, he's got some options for that third spot. We know two of them have been formally announced, and, you know, Faraji and Frank Haith. But
right.
You got some options for that third spot. And I suspect when all the dust settles, it's not going to be Larry Brown the full-time role.
Yeah. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Cox for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jessica Benson for hopping on as well. Gina and Jeffrey are up next, so don't miss that. Gonna do it for us. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.